The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Welcome, this is Joe Poe
and Mary Helen Deere,
hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay, our sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on New Country 98.5 FM KACO, Apache and Adarko, Fort Sill, Lawton. Our Kiowa's for a Better Future. District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, and Lawrence Spotted Bird announced candidate for Kiowa Chairman. We've got Leonard Cozad Jr. giving our opening prayer for today. So, Leonard, take it away.
Oh, thank you. It's good to hear you all again, Mary Ellen and George, my friend, at the station. So let us pray to our God. Uncle Peggy, dog, he go, honey, I go. He go, keep this time, go, hey, on my own time, a dog, he go. Honey, I get, dog, he tell, he dog, go. How they going time to go? No go. Maybe can't hear dog. How they going time to go? Dog. He go. No go. Die. They going take to go. Him I going time to go. And go go. Go go. Wait all how go. And go go. Say he. Joey go. Sister Mary Helen dear go. Eight to die. Get they go. I those on go. And now old time a dog. He go. Hey go go no. They go, so I go, bean, they go, no, go, eight bone, go, they go, hang the dog. How they go, eight title, go, no, no, I'm a dog, he go. They go, go, on it, I get Jesus Christ, go. On it, I get dog, he dog, go, no, I'm a dog, he so I go, no, no, I ain't take to go. They go, go, eight title, go, no, go, no, I'm a. Thank you, dear God, for another beautiful day. Thank you for everything. Amen.
Leonard, thank you for that beautiful prayer. You take care, and we'll see you on Saturday. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so the next portion of our show, we have our Kiowa Elder of the Week, and the Kiowa Elder of the Week this week is Marion Colity Hansen. Mary Helen Deere, go ahead and take this portion of the show away.
Thank you. Hello, Marion. How are you doing today?
Just fine.
Good. Good to hear your voice. We invited you to be on. We like to invite our elders to come and kind of reminisce and talk about the past and the present. I know you lived away from home for quite a while now, but you know, whenever people meet someone new, they always say, "Hey, well, who's your folks?" So, Marion, tell us, who's your folks?
Okay, first of all, I'm a Fula Kiowa Indian. I was born in Lawton Indian Hospital. And my name is Total Soy, or Spotted Wings. And my parents are Christine Tuajikalati and Ricky Kalati. And my mother, Christine, attended the Anadarko Catholic Mission School and Riverside School. And Ricky, our Kalati, our father, was in the first graduating class of Riverside Indian School. But he also attended Shalako School and the Oklahoma City Business School. On my mother's side, her parents are James T. Hatchett and Lena Tampy. And Grandpa James, he attended the Fort Cobb Public School and then the Catholic School at Anadarko and Haskell and then the Cone College. And Grandpa James dedicated his life to Christ and served as a Baptist minister. Grandma Lena Tampy attended the Cedardale Country School east of Carnegie. And then she attended the Rainy Mountain School and Bacon College. Ricky Halsey's parents are Eugenia Ion, which means noise above. And her name is Eugenia Pablo Coy Hummingbird. And his father was Joshua Colity. And later, Grandma Eugenia Mary Kettle Mossay. And their daughter is Maud Welch Mossay Mac Daniels. Then Grandma Eugenia attended the J.J. Methven School. My brothers and sisters and I grew up at Yehontopaw, which is Tuhatchet Creek at Fort Cobb, Oklahoma. And we spent considerable time with our Carnegie parents and also our Fort Cobb grandparents. I say Carnegie grandparents because that was the parents of our father, Ricky Colity, and that was Eugenia and Kettle Mossack. And my brothers and sisters that were the children of Ricky Colity and Christine Tuhatchett. Sisters are Regina Colity, deceased, and that's me, Yvette Lyon Colity, Lulani Colity, deceased, Larry Robin Colity, he's a veteran, and Goldie James Colity, he's a military veteran, and then Valentine Colity Tate. And then our mother raised her sister's son. We call him our brother, Dom, Lonnie, McAdams. He's half Shoshone, but he's also a veteran. And from the second marriage of our father, Ricky, and his wife, Margaret, we have brothers and sisters, Parker Colity, Joshua Colity, Mark Colity, and Dolores Colity. Then we have two beautiful sisters from our mother's union with her, with Newton Purdy, a Caddo Indian. And my sisters, our sisters are Blanche Elaine Purdy Creeping Bear and Cynthia Jody Purdy Parton. Now, the ancestry of our mother, Christine, her father is James by Dongite, standing under the firm, Tuhatchett, or Lee Honto. And Christine's mother was Lena Tampy, or Heart Eater. And our mother's paternal ancestry, this is on Grandpa James's father and mother's side. The parents of James are Edward by Don Gide, standing under the sun, Tuhatchett, Yehonto, and his mother was Blanche Odelbald, which means the fluffy mane of a new colt. And Blanche is the daughter of Tebow. And Edward had two sisters, Mary and Grace, and they were the children of Big Eagle Wings and Kelsey. But Kelsey's name actually was Corvos because he was a captive from Mexico. And when the children's mother, Big Eagle Wings, died, her sister, which is the aunt of the three children, her name Spotted Wings, or Stole Soy, she was a Kiowa medicine woman. And her husband, Tuhatchett, Chief Tuhatchett, where he bought was of the Kata division. And they raised the three Kelsey children. So Tuhatchett is not their real name. But in the 1890 census, the children were enrolled as Tuhatchett. And in 1890, Kelsey was enrolled as Kelsey. And then Kelsey married his second wife and raised a large family. But Spotted Wings is the paternal grandmother of James Padonkiai Tuhatchett. And as a note, Bill Willis, the former Speaker of the House from 1973 to 1974 for the Oklahoma State Legislature. He was the grandson of Calisay and Big Wings. Bill Willis's mother is the daughter of Mary, the sister to Edward Pononkiai, Two Hatchet. And then T.C. Cannon, the artist, is the grandson of Edward's sister Grace, and her name is Grace Cannon because Mary's a white person, and she's the daughter of Big Wings and Calisay. And Calisay and his brother were taken captive at the same time. And the brother of Calisay was taken by the Kiowa Apache, and he is the grandfather to Tennyson Berry. Okay, the ancestry of James Stratton's mother. Blanche and James' grandparents were Tabola and Atonte. James Stratton's mother, Blanche Olapohl, is the daughter of Tabola of the Kota Reef Division. And Tabola is the son of Man of Many Wives, which is Ta'oe Kahi. And he was the priest leader of the Ten Medicines. And this was passed on to Tabola, who was also a buffalo medicine man. And Tabola, in one of his expeditions, he found a baby boy near a destroyed home. The baby's white parents must have left the child hidden in the bushes, and Tabola heard this noise, and he discovered the baby, rescued him, and raised him as his great-beloved son, and became an outstanding warrior. He was named Wild Mustang, or Guhati. And as a great warrior, he captured a red cape from the enemy, and today the red cape is worn as a symbol of victory by the Black Lakings. And this is a true story. And it's also noted in Elder Kiowa statements that are documented. In 1890-93, Tabola was our Kiowa historian, among others, an informant regarding the Kiowa history and the original dwelling areas and Kiowa alliances to James Mooney and General Scott. This note was published in the Bureau of American Ethnology at the Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C. And Tabola's wife, Etonde Day, was a sister to our great-granduncle, Satoki, or Hunting Horse. And Etonde Day, her father, was Yellow Buffalo of the Big Shield Division. And that name is pronounced Paul Gukko. And Etonde's brothers and sisters are Hunting Horse and Itali Dona and Shonde or Funde. So these four were brothers and sisters. And the mother was Salebe, which means like a talented worker. And she was also called a Tokoi Ma or white woman. But two of the children had different fathers. Hunting Horse. His older brother, the English translation is No Retreat. Member of the select leaders, Koiki. And he was out looking for horses when he came upon and killed a pony that was trying to steal horses. And so later, when his younger brother was born, he gave him the name Looking for Horses. And that name became Hunting Horse, which is now spelled as Satoke. Hunting Horse's father is Little Turtle. He was of the Elk Division. And he called him Noma and Sean Day, the Atlas. Same father, which was Coattail, he was taken as one of the 27 Kiowa prisoners at St. Augustine in 1875. And then in 1878, he attended the Carlisle Indian School, and later he became a recruiter for other Indian students. He recruited Laura Acetone, and he later married Laura. They had two children, and he died at the age of 82. Both children died. And Laura Acetone was her maiden name, Laura Acetone. She later married a white man named Patrick, so she became Laura Patrick. And Jean Day, as a Carlisle student, was named Mabel, and she became the wife of Kiowa minister Lucius Aitson. Now we go to Lena Tainby. That is Christine, my mother's side of the family. Tainby's father was Tenendall for Bird Cumming. And Tainby's mother was Bohe or Blue Eye. And Lena Tainby's mother was Lottie Gumtai or Whiteback. And then Lottie Whiteback, her parents were, her father was Zale Gahong Day, which means exceptionally good, but they cut that too short to Zale Ki, according to Parker McKenzie. And Lottie's mother was Aitonbo, which means leading a pack of warriors. And Aitonbo was the daughter of Sate Deoiti, many bears. And so Sate Deoiti was the grandfather of Lottie Gomtai. After Tainby died, his brother John Alfred Tyndall married Lottie Gomtai. Now I'm going to Ricky Colicky's paternal ancestry and Grandma Eugenia's side. Eugenia Pablo Cora Hummingbird Masse was mother of Ricky Colicky, and Eugenia father Pablo Coy translated to Buffalo Mouthbag. He was a Kiowa Buffalo medicine man. His grandmother brought the Buffalo medicine to the Kiowa. And after the death of Pablo Coy, which is Eugenia's father, then Eugenia's mother married. Eugenia's mother, her name was On Hot Day, or Following the Trail, and pronounced On Hot Day, or white spelling Omhardy. He married Hummingbird. And in 1890, the children were enrolled as Hummingbird. Now, the father of Ricky is Joshua Colicky. And so, the father of Joshua Colicky is Rick Tipi of the Elk or Kogoi Division. And so, Rick Tipi is the grandfather to Ricky Colicky. And Joshua Colicky was a member of the Indian Troop Bell. He was a private in that service, which was by Captain Hugh Scott at Fort Sill, and Chief Red TP of the Red Division, and his white Irish wife to have five children. The first one was a boy, Ole, which was a girl. The second was Colicky, Joshua Colicky. The third was Boyenty, Jack Boyenty. The fourth was Soodle, or Henry Soodle. And the fifth was Ahati, or Charles Ahati, which means Ahane, they, Datal Day, which means they are. And Chief Red Tipi also had a Kiowa wife. And from this union, their son was Sate Ahati, or White Bear. And the following children from Joshua Colicky, because he had four wives, and they were Ricky Colicky's brothers and sisters, so this would be Joe Colicky, Louis Colicky, Henry Colicky, Bessie Colicky, Helen Colicky Horse, Julia Colicky Boat Tidy, and Roger Lee Colicky. And as I mentioned before, Mark Welch McDaniels is the sister to Ricky. Well, my background is I attended the Port Cobb, Oklahoma Public School, 1958, selected as Kiowa Princess, and then in 1964, I began independently collecting Kiowa information in our native language, Kiowa language, and translated this to English. And this was for, well, something that I was interested in. Because at a young age, I was hearing remarks that our elders were leaving. And this opened the door to my interest in capturing the ancestry memories in our Kiowa language. And I'm sure that this became the icebreaker for our Kiowa Historical Society, which no longer exists. And this Kiowa Historical Society was put together by Lynn Poitty and James Duratchett and others. And then I decided to attend college. I have 3 bachelor's degrees from the University of Science and Arts at Chickasha. And then as a graduate student, I was director of Indian Studies at USAO and also taught 2 classes. And I received a master's degree in anthropology and ethnology from the University of Oklahoma at Norman. And then I worked for a tribal government. And then after that, I worked for the Norman, D.C. And then I was fortunate enough to be able to this just came about because I have so much interest in our Kiowa history, language, and the entire process of what the Kiowas are about. And so for 7 years, from 1985 to 1991, for 7 years, I was a pre-doctoral principal investigator fellow at the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., and then February 27, 1997, this Kiowa research was published entitled A Guide to the Kiowa Collections at the Smithsonian Institutions in the Contributions to Anthropology series. And after this, I was hired as a curator of American Indian Art at the Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs in Washington, D.C. I received many honors and awards for my work. But I met other memberships with different interior organizations where I served as president for each one. And I was I helped with public speaking programs about American Indian art my work was covered the entire European Affairs agencies and regional offices and Indian schools, where I had a responsibility to check on and also document the various artworks within the U.S. and various buildings like that. And so I worked 20 years for the government. I'm now retired. I'm an anthropologist, technologist, and author and artist. But I did marry at a young age, and I have 2 sons, Jerry Don Wolf and Jack Koveka Wolf. I have 2 granddaughters and 1 grandson. And I married a second time to Slavar Hansen. He's a native of Iceland, but he also has an interest in the artworks. And I continue at home with my artwork, and I have my collection here. And my mother, Christine, grandmothers, and grandfathers, they were all talented artists. And my mother, our mother, created our clothing. We had new dresses for each holiday. And mom was a seamstress, an excellent cook, a bead worker. And she read and learned other craft skills. And she had her own business as a dietitian. And our grand mothers created traditional clothing.
Yeah. Marion. Marion?
Yes. Yes.
That 20 minutes goes fast and we're running out of time, but I do want to take this time to tell you that I'm so happy that your life has taken you the way it has gone to preserve a lot of our history and a lot of our family histories. And you come from a giant-sized family. You know, when they say all Kiowas are related, you know, your family shows that all Kiowas are related. But I want to thank you for your interest and your lifelong work in preserving Indian history and Kiowa history. So I want to thank you very much for that. And so we're at the end of our time. Thank you, Marion, very much.
Okay.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Okay.
All right, everyone. That was our Kiowa Elder of the Week, Marion Hansen. And next up is our special guest, Lawrence Spotted Bird, who is here to discuss his part of the plan of action for the Kiowa tribe if he's elected to office. Lawrence, how are you doing today?
Going good.
Well, good, hey, good.
Salutations.
Well, welcome to the show, and you go ahead and take it away.
Well, great. Thank you for the time. As you know, my plan anyway, and eventually it'll be our plan when we work together to refine it, will be to create what I'm calling a three-dimensional tribe. And, of course, with the Kiowa standing together, we're working together. We have to work together, stand together, support each other to implement this plan. We've got to work together to do it because one person can't do it. And so the three parts of this three-dimensional tribe I'm talking about is, of course, our tribal government. I talked about that last week. This week I'll talk about the second part, which is the economic development part of it. And also the third part is our nonprofit community development corporation, which I'll speak to later at another time. Kiowa Incorporated, that's what I foresee as the economic development corporation established for that purpose to lead in the economic revitalization of our tribe, as well as some of our communities where most of our tribal members live, you know, Hobart, Carnegie, and Anadarko primarily, but also we won't ignore any of the other areas that where our people live. And so Kiowa Incorporated, that's going to be probably what I'm planning for is a Section 17 federally chartered corporation that will be formed for that purpose. And it will have two key priorities. First, to create diverse revenues to support, you know, the expanded Kiowa government programs and services that our people need. And second priority will be to create jobs for Kiowa tribal members. So we can't lose our vision for those two key priorities as we develop this economic development arm for the tribe. We'll also focus on a very lucrative component within the federal government, which is to create government contracting enterprises using various incentive programs like the 8A program, Hub Zone program, capitalize on the Buy Indian Act, which IHS and BIA are required to follow, and other agencies soon will be incorporating that as well. I think USDA is being nurtured for that. Also establish retail centers, fuel and cigarettes, Kiowa arts and crafts in our various communities where it makes sense. To create tax base and revenues, again, for tribal operations. Establish technology-based enterprises. As you all know, our young people are growing up with technology and knowing how to use technology. And there are many business opportunities, job opportunities that are technology-based that we need to capitalize on as we're in the 21st century and nurture our youth to create careers in that industry and using what they're growing up with, which is technology. And so we can develop those, and those can impact anything around the world, basically, because this world is smaller because of technology. And so we need to take advantage of that. Another concept is creating a Kiowa farms. And this is an idea that I think if we create a for-profit farming enterprise that will eventually lease our own tribal allotments that are still there and continue to farm those allotments, but pay our tribal members that own those allotments better lease money for that. I'm not sure the DIA has given us the best bang for our buck as they negotiate leases for us, so I think we can do a better job, and we can continue to farm those lands that are good farmland. And eventually, if they want to even sell the land, we need to be in a position to buy those allotments and keep them in trust status and keep them in our ownership, because every allotment that's sold goes to from trust to fee is lost pretty much forever unless we buy it back. So we need to establish that new arm for economic development that would impact, of course, our farming country in the Southwest Oklahoma. But also, we again, with the help of the Shakopee tribe, we got a grant to acquire the property for Southern Plains for the Indian Center USA. And my concept is a broader concept of creating a Southern Plains Indian Cultural Center to first and foremost showcase the Kiowa culture, but also other tribal cultures that are in the area to create a diverse presentation for tourism. And in fact, the affect the economy in that area by drawing in tourists from the area with this new First Americans Museum that was opened up in Oklahoma City. We can kind of capitalize on that attraction and bring people to the Southern Plains Indian Cultural Center that we will own and develop and showcase Indian City USA. And again, I foresee having actual villages showcasing the various tribal cultures and some presentations similar to what Indian City did in their heyday with the latest presenting samples of their dances and other things that are would be interesting to tourists that will come from around the world to experience this. And so we need to develop that as a premier showcase for Native culture in Southwest Oklahoma. Another thing I'd like to revive is Kiowa Chronicles, and that was the brainchild of my Bobby Sherman Chettleson, Schmo. He wanted us, our Kiowas, to be able to tell our own story and present that information to the world, educate the people about who Kiowas are from our own created materials and educational materials. And Kiowa Chronicles was the brainchild who basically chronicle the history of where we believe we first originated, which is in Southeast British Columbia, to where we are now in Southwest Oklahoma. And we need to tell our own story. I know the world and the libraries and other educational institutions are hungry for material that are created by the tribal people themselves, and we need to move this idea and this concept forward in memory and in honor of my Bobby, who created this idea, Sherman Chettleson. And so that would be the two key components of the Southern Plains Indian Cultural Center. And again, I'm proposing that the headquarters for Kiowa Incorporated will be in Hobart. Again, to have these locations impact those communities where our people live. And so economic development, again, has been my forte, my primary experience in professional life ever since I got my Bachelor's of Business Administration degree from the University of Central Oklahoma, which was at the time Central State College. I got my business administration degree in 1982, but I was already working for Oklahomans for Indian Opportunity Tribal Business Development Center. And that got me involved in helping tribes and individual Native entrepreneurs develop their business ideas and get moving forward with business development for themselves or for their tribe. And it was tough going back in the day because tribes had very little to draw upon to bring economic development to their remote communities. But I got the bug in this area, and I've been working in that most of my professional life to affect positive economic development in rural Native communities. And I want to bring that to our tribe because our communities are in economic downturn big time. They could use revitalization. And I believe that the Kiowas can lead in the economic revitalization of our Southwest Oklahoma communities. And we can work together to make that happen. And so, again, Kiowa Incorporated is the core organization that we will build upon to affect our various communities and revive the economies of the Southwest Oklahoma communities. And but we need to work together, and I sincerely believe that we have enough Kiowas, professional Kiowas out there, that we can convince them that we have a good plan and we can implement this plan effectively and attract them to come help us build our tribe and build our economy. I think we can attract a Kiowa-led management team and development team to do that. And I really believe that because I know we got professionals all over the country that are doing good work, and we can attract them to work for us for our tribe. And so, again, using all my experience and working with other tribes for years and learning what can be done well, what not to do, mistakes that we can avoid along the way, and use that experience that other tribes have entrusted me to do for them and bring it to my own people, the Kiowa people. And that will be one of the key components of our three-dimensional tribe that I've conceived here. And next week I'll talk about Community Development Corporation, which is a nonprofit, because by creating a nonprofit that would affect institutions that fund 501c3 nonprofits, we can take advantage of those funding sources. And of course, the private business will generate business opportunities that create profits that can be shared with the tribe. And also our government. We need to expand our capacity for our tribal government so that we can attract more long-term dollars that will come to a tribe as a government entity, a healthy and a well-managed government entity. And so working together, standing together, we can do that. I really believe that. I really believe we can have a full management team made up of Kiowas to do this work, and I really look forward to putting my hat in the ring and filing in the springtime and coming home and running for chairman, and hope to get the support of the people this year.
Hey, Lawrence, you brought up a very important point that this administration has certainly dropped the ball on. In the past year, we had 1,800 acres of Kiowa trust land for sale, and we were, of course, offered first right to buy that. And since the administration didn't participate in the Cobell land buyback program, those lands went into fee and went out of the Kiowa land base, which is unfortunate. And we need to be in ourselves and budget monies every year to buy those lands as they come to market. So I think that's an excellent idea. And we're running a little short on time, but you got to wait. You can't say, put all your bullets out here on the first battle. So we got lots more shows to do. So do you have anything else to add today?
No, but I really believe that we should just automatically buy any land that's brought to us for purchase. We should have first right of refusal, what they call it, to purchase our own tribal allotments. And we need to have the resources to do that. And we've got to do that. We can't let our land base diminish. That's crazy, and so we need to prepare ourselves to do better at that.
Yes, sir.
So look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking time to come on the show, and we'll look forward to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, that was Lawrence Spotted Bird, candidate for Kiowa chairman. And now we'll move on to the next part of the show. We've got Anita Johnson and Jacob Sotai are here to discuss current events in the tribe and give their respective legislative updates. So, Anita Johnson, are you on? And if you are, take it away.
The first thing I'd like to discuss is the Indigenous Day that happened in Lawton this past Monday, which was just a really great turnout of people, and we had a really good program. And the one disappointment, we didn't get to have the Zoom or the presentation from the author of a book. She was going to broadcast out to us from Phoenix, I believe it was. But it was I was very interested in hearing her, and somehow or another, you know how it becomes jumbled up in the airwaves, I guess. And we just didn't get to have that happen. So, but otherwise, everything went well, and we had a very good meal afterwards, and well, in between all the happenings, and just a real good turnout of people, and I was so proud of everyone that was there. It was just a real good turnout, and I was very pleased and surprised that so many people came out. But in the past, it's been kind of slow. This was the fourth year, and it's been a little light in attendance, but this fourth year is just a real boom. I mean, it just really turned out very well, and MMIW was there, and they give, I'd like to give Fawn a real good shout-out and really a good kudo, because Dr. Peabody was speaking about the presenters, and he mentioned that she was her presentation was very moving, and he felt like she gave a very good presentation on her subject matter, which was MMIW and you know, violence against our people, and that. I just wanted to acknowledge that date. And also during that time, one of the legislators was honored. It was a legislator out of District 6, Ben Wolf. He was honored for being a community hero citizen in his part that he played, just as a, I would call it like a good Samaritan to part of this community, and putting himself at risk without hesitation whenever other people that get, you know, that provide health care would not provide the needed care to one of our Kiowa citizens. And even there was no plan in action for even our emergency plan of action for our tribe to deal with our people that have COVID and that have dialysis needs. And there was no transportation for that person to go to. The only one that was open to dialysis patients was in Oklahoma City. And Mr. Wolf took her to Oklahoma City for several weeks to receive her dialysis, and would leave Hobart at 3 o'clock in the morning to get there by six, so she could get dialyzed and three times a week. And so this was during the winter time, very cold weather. And he did this as a good citizen. And so we acknowledge that in the Indigenous Day ceremonies, and well deserved for him. And so I just wanted to mention that. Also, Joe, I wanted to ask you a question. During the signing of the Feature Trust land, Mr. Carter was acknowledged as the negotiator between the Kiowa tribe, or the casino as it would be, and the government in the Feature Trust. And do you recall, you were there firsthand, and so do you recall how Mr. Carter was hired to do that. Was he hired by the tribe or was he hired by the casino? Because I don't believe that we, as the tribal budget goes, I don't believe there was any allocation in the tribal budget or that type of legal fee for an outside attorney to come in and do such a thing.
Well, Anita, from what I recall, Mr. Carter didn't have any involvement at all. The KCOA used its attorney that we already had in place that we had engaged to put the Hobart Casino land into trust. And after that program was already well underway, we were asked to put Indian City in trust since we already had personnel in place. So we just started a second fee to trust application while the Hobart was going on. And if Mr. Carter was involved, that's news to me.
It was in the casino's KCOA's involvement in that fee to trust, was that on behalf of gaming?
Well, in the Hobart, the Hobart was on behalf of gaming, but since we already had infrastructure in place to put land into trust, we were asked to start the application for Indian City. So we just had our existing attorneys prepare a fee to trust non-gaming application for that. So really it was, even though it was non-gaming, but the KCOA's already existing personnel that we had in place took care of that as well.
Is that standard practice for the casino to pay for legal fees for something that has nothing to do whatsoever with anything that's not gaming involved?
Well,
was it simply up to us as Kiowa people? And if it is, shouldn't the Kiowa people have been informed and been asked? Because it is their money that's being spent.
Well, we were just directed to put the land in trust, and so we just did what we were asked. I know that land, we were having to pay taxes on it, and it really benefits everybody for that land to be in trust because it takes money every year to pay taxes on that land.
Oh, I'm not disputing that at all. I'm questioning, though, the authority to put it in trust if it's not gaming. Why are gaming dollars being applied to that attorney to put it in trust? Why didn't it just go through the regular tribal trust? How it would regularly go through a tribe to get it into trust?
Well, there was the Kiowa tribe didn't have any personnel or staff or anyone in place to do that. The only entity that was knowledgeable in putting land into trust was the KCOA and the people that it hired. So we just used those same people to put that land into trust.
I see. Do you recall what it cost in attorney fees for that to happen?
I do not. I do have the records. I could go look that up.
Maybe you can give us that next week.
Okay, sure, I can.
I'm just curious about that because it just kind of popped up as a curious thing to me this past week as I was thinking about it, and that kind of happens. A light bulb comes on every now and then in the dimness of my mind, but
we all have those dimnesses.
Some of us more often than others.
One thing I did want to add, it was brought up to us that one day, many years down the road, that perhaps they may put some small gaming facility up there if we were to have some huge enterprise up there. And so that was a consideration given to us at that time. in all of the fee to trust applications that the Chickasaw Tribe did. All of there's two ways you can do that when you put fee land into trust. You can put same use. If the Chickasaws had farmland and they were going to put it into trust, mm-hmm. they could say same use and it would be farmland. However, the Chickasaws they said same use, but then put a gaming facility on there. And that was one of the basis of one of the lawsuits that another Southwestern tribe had, is the fact that it wasn't same use. They took farmland and then put it into gaming. And so the Kiowa tribe was the first tribe that the Anadarko agency had put into gaming trust in many, many, many years, or maybe at all. But at least the personnel that had been there 15 years had never had that happen.
I see. Okay. Well, that clears up a little bit for me. Other than that, we had our first meeting with the interim speaker, Mr. Sotai, and I have heard through the grapevine, nothing official, but I heard our speaker is out of the hospital, and I don't know that officially, but I heard that she was going to be dismissed, I think, in coming home today.
Yesterday.
Which, but Jacob may know better than I do. And just very happy about that. Such a horrendous thing to happen to our speaker without any previous symptoms. I don't think that, you know, anything was even going on. But anyway, there's not a lot going on other than I'm still getting calls, and I think all legislators are still getting calls about the adults' checks. I just got one just before I got on the program about their check not coming in, and they had put in July, and they finally gave up October 6th. They put in another request, so I'm not sure how that's going, but I gave them a number to call, and hopefully they'll get an answer and be able to get some kind of answer from someone at the COVID center. Other than that, I think getting some kind of mix up on our yearly budget. I'm not sure what's going on, but there's something under play there. July 1 should start the budget year with last year's budget because there has been no new budget passed. So once July 1 hits, if no new budget is passed, then you begin again with the budget that was in place, which is the 2021 budget. It would still be in effect, not the same money. You begin again at day one, like you were at July 1, 2020, and that's the same money you start with this time. No other new money coming in. So
it looks like some people at the tribe missed that memo, Anita.
Well, it's not a memo. It's in the Constitution.
Oh, I know. I was making a joke.
Okay. I never can tell because you're always in a good mood.
Well, I don't know that all the time.
that's the mix-up happening right now, and I'm not sure why. But there is a difference of opinion there, and so we're just waiting for somebody to straighten that out. I'm not sure who will straighten it out. The court is still not open. We're waiting on I'm not for sure who we're waiting on. I would take it that the judges would open the court. I don't know what the reasoning is. Everything seems to be in place. Everything is done that we were told needed to be done 2 years ago. And so I'm not sure why we're not open. It's a beautiful court. My mahogany and everything is in there. So, I mean, it looks wonderful. Look like they'd be biting at the bit to get to use it. It's really a nice courtroom, very nice. But that's about all I have this week. I do believe we haven't passed anything. We're waiting on the legislative order to get finished and by Mr. Wolf. So we'll wait until he's finished, and then we'll bring that before the legislators and see what happens in a vote count. So we'll wait on that. Maybe he'll be through by next Saturday, and we'll get to report on that by then. Okay, that's it for me this week.
All right, Anita, thank you so much for being on, and we'll talk to you next week. All right? All right, Jacob, go ahead and take your portion of the way. What do you know today?
Thank you, Mr. Poe, and I appreciate Legislator Johnson for her information about activities that have been ongoing. I, too, was able to attend the Indigenous People's Day celebration in Lawton, and it was really a very heartwarming scene to see our people in their colors, in their regalia, in their shawls, to make a statement to the city of Lawton and to those in the surrounding community that we are still here, we shall remain, and that our presence needs to indicate that we need to work together as a people in order to accomplish things for all parties concerned. So I was very pleased with that. I thank my friend, my Bobby, Dr. Cornell Peabody, for all that he did to help to get that observance off the ground and in order for people to be able to celebrate who they are. And I was thankful for that. In legislative news, we met this past Saturday, and we did table two bills, one having to deal with creating a tribal education agency that hoped to streamline the organizational structure of our education department so that we have all our programs under one umbrella and to be more efficient in the work that they do. And then also we tabled a bill that was the budget proposal for next year. So we need to get that done and get that underway because, like Anita said, there's some confusion there with the executive branch about where we are with our current budget. They don't understand the Constitution. They need a constitutional lawyer to give them some idea of what they are doing, how they are implementing their programs and activities without funding. It's ridiculous for them to continue to say that we are running short of money when we start over in lieu of a past budget. We start over from the beginning. We have all the dollars that were in there from last year's budget. So it's very frustrating that there's a limited sense of understanding there in the executive branch. I was unable to attend the National Indian Education Association conference because of travel restrictions and budgetary restraints. And then we were told that we couldn't make purchases. And then today, my office manager was told that we are running short in salary. Our salary budget items are in the red. And it doesn't make any sense when you start over from the very beginning with your budget if it hasn't been passed. And they just don't seem to grasp the Constitution. How terribly frustrating for us who have to work with people who have a limited knowledge.
Jacob, and that's it. I certainly agree with you, too. How can we have all these millions of dollars and we're running short on things? Hey, we're running short of time on the show. A real quick events this weekend. We have the Red Earth Parade at 10 o'clock on Saturday the 16th, which is a couple of hours from right now. And we got the Oklahoma City Powwow Club Fall Dance. Starts at noon, 12 to 4 at the Myriad Gardens, and then 6 to 11 at the Indian Hills. Please, everyone, get vaccinated. Call your closest IHS clinic. Koigu Bay Kalede, Kiowas Standing Together. We'd like to thank our guest, Marian Hansen, and our sponsors for speaking today, as well as all of the Koigu for tuning into our program on KACO, New Country 98.5 FM. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as JT would say, goombye for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media management and staff.